It is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports going to stop by 20 minutes from now as we'll continue our weekly pick segment in the NFL season. But first up, let's give you one thought on each game for all the games upcoming this weekend. Music, por favor. Giants at the Packers in London, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time kick. Daniel Jones is going to play in this one. This is a game to me, though, where I think it's a reminder that, yes, Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, and the Giants have done a good job so far in moving the Giants in the right direction. But you have a team in Green Bay that did not play well last week. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be hungry to bounce back, even though they did win. I think this is a separation where Green Bay shows we're not as bad as what people are saying we are because we're 3-1, and the Giants aren't a 3-1 team that is really reflecting the reality of their record. They're still building. I think the Packers win this game big, and I think they show that okay, we could still find a way up against an inferior team to really take them to work and show them who's boss. What's your thought, Hickey?
I'm with you. It's key on the margin of victory here for the Packers because they've played down to their competition almost really the entire year so far. This should be a game where you win and you win by 14, 17 points. Kind of for the first time all year, kind of put it together and beat up what is an inferior opponent.
Pittsburgh at Buffalo. I want to see what Kenny Pickett does. And I've been thinking about this all week. What's a good performance by Kenny Pickett? Now, they're a 14-point underdog. Even though Von Miller doesn't want to admit that the Bills are the favorite and he's trying to say no one's calling the Steelers an underdog. I want to see Kenny Pickett just make this a game in the fourth quarter. I don't think it will be a game in the fourth quarter, but if he's able to make this a game in the fourth, heading into the fourth, the final 15 minutes of football, and you go, okay, it's within a score. He hasn't fallen flat on his face and throw like two or three interceptions and fumble the ball a time or two, then I think that's a win. Like, my bar's so low for this one because the Steelers' offense, the line's not good. Their offense hasn't clicked at all. He did give them a jolt of energy last week, but it was up against the Jets and they ended up losing the game. Just keep this one from not spiraling out of control entering the fourth quarter. I think that's then what I would consider a success for Kenny Pickett this week.
I want to see if the Bills can establish a run game for the first time. The Steelers' defense...
Other than Josh Allen.
Right. Someone not named Josh Allen. The three running backs you have, anyone kind of tote the rock and just take some pressure off, please.
Also, for Buffalo, the last 2 weeks they've been sloppy. They should have won the game up against Miami, and they had to pull a rabbit out of their hat once they were down 20-3 to take care of business up against the Baltimore Ravens. You should have a clean game this weekend. This should be an easy game that you coast. So in one breath, I want to see the Steelers keep it close, but the Bills really should just roll the Steelers team. Chargers at the Browns. It's very simple. Justin Herbert, you just got to have it this week. You want to talk about a must win, can't lose. No, this is just a you got to have it for Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. Cleveland's a good team. They're a respectable opponent. I know they were dealing with a lot of injuries last week on that defensive line. They got a good run game in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. We'll see how improved that Chargers run defense is from where they were a year ago. But if you're Herbert, you just can't lose to Jacoby Brissett. You're the best player, best offensive player on the field. You just got to have this game. I don't know Keenan Allen in this one. Big spot with them going on the road, but my attention is on Justin Herbert.
I put my attention on Austin Eckler. Really good game last week against the Texans. 3 touchdowns. Kind of really the first game all season where he actually looked like kind of, let's say, vintage Austin Eckler.
Last year, Austin Eckler?
Yeah, last year Austin Eckler was a touchdown machine. No Keenan Allen again. Like, that's a guy that's a great weapon that you should be able to utilize in a game like this.
The running back storylines are actually good in this one. Chubb is great. Kareem Hunt is very explosive. And we know Austin Eckler's a stud in this league. Detroit at New England. We'll see if Amon Ross St. Brown is going to play. He's questionable. No DeAndre Swift once again for the Detroit Lions. Mac Jones is doubtful. Bailey Zappe most likely getting the start for the Patriots because now Hoyer's on IR, and he'll be designated to return at some point in the season. My thought is the Lions have the number one offense in the league. Now, do I think they have the best offense in football? No, but statistically they do. Can you actually win, though? What does it mean if you're putting up all these points and you only have one win on the season and you're getting outscored? So this is a winnable game. Can the Lions' number one offense start to reflect in wins? That's my thought on this game going up against a banged-up Patriots team who showed a lot of grit and fight last week.
I get Bailey Zappi's going to be under center, so it's a little tougher to, I guess, maybe break out all the tricks you want. I'm excited to see Matt Patricia has in store against his old team.
I thought you were saying the Patriots are winning the game, which, personally, I would love for them to win the game. But you saying that,
The Matt Patricia revenge game. Let's see if Matt can really revenge.
He did it to himself.
Well, you're right. But, you know, in his mind, no, he got wrong. So I'm excited to see what he kind of breaks out in. Like, imagine you want to break out with me? I'll show you.
No. After the game, they interview Matt Patricia. They wrote me off. I didn't write back.
I hope. That or sit up. No slouching.
Yeah.
I see I leave and you say back to your same old tricks.
The Detroit media going to this game, when they see Matt Patricia, do you think Matt Patricia, it's like, oh, like, when there's a former coach that comes in town, there's some relationship there. You think the Detroit media is like, oh, Matt, good to see you? Or is it, oh, geez, want nothing to do with that bozo?
I think it's the wall of silence.
Geno Smith, right now, the most accurate quarterback in football, going up against Andy Dalton and the New Orleans Saints. Jameis Winston will not get the start. We don't know if Michael Thomas is going to play. Alvin Kamara is questionable for the game. I don't know if Seattle's going to win the game, but I think they're going to keep this close. And my thought on this one is let Geno cook, baby. Geno Smith right now is looking better than Russell Wilson. Testing 1, 2, 3. I didn't take any of those Rodgers drugs, I don't think, before this show. I can't believe we live in a world right now where Geno Smith has the highest completion percentage in the league. And not only the highest completion percentage in the league, the highest in NFL history through the first four games of any NFL regular season with a bare minimum of 150 passing attempts. Geno over Russ. My thoughts, just Geno Smith this week. That's it.
I'll go other side quarterback, Andy Dalton. I'm pushing for him to be the starter. If he is to win the job, this has to be a game where you play well against this defense.
You got to put points up.
Does
it matter who's quarterbacking this team? I know Andy Dalton played well last week against a bad Minnesota defense. But when we talk about quarterback competitions, do you give a rat's ass who's playing week in and week out between Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton?
I do, because I don't think the Saints are totally written off.
Oh, stop. They're 1-3.
They're 1-3.
Oh, no.
But
Dennis Allen stinks. They're never healthy. You have garbage at the quarterback position.
They're never healthy. That's the killer. They have talent, though. Like, they have talent on the defense. You have a solid O-line. You have a good running back. You have a good receiver when he's out there. Like, this is a team that still, I think, is going to be capable of making some noise.
And if I have a car, let's just say, a Lamborghini, but it doesn't have wheels on the car, do I have a nice car?
No, that'd be a problem.
Mm. Same thing.
That's a fixable issue, which I wonder if Andy Dalton is the four tires that you're looking for. He could be. I'm not saying this is going to be a 12-win team. 8-9 wins?
Stink.
Get in that range?
No.
You don't have to do a lot.
No. Well, you know what? Let me look at the schedule here. Because on paper, with what I've seen so far through the first few weeks of the season, I'm going to go out on a limb here. This is a bad football team. So you're trying to talk them back into a world where that they can make a fight out of this. Is what you're kind of saying.
Just give yourself a fighter's chance down the stretch. That's all. I'm not saying number two seed.
Can you pull up their schedule for me?
Yes.
For some reason, my phone just won't load it. But I'm very curious what the rest of their schedule looks like. Because just what I've seen so far from that team, that's a bad football team.
Well, I'll see the Seahawks this week. You're home against Cincinnati. On the road at Arizona on a short week.
Loss.
Home against the Raiders. Home against the Ravens. At the Steelers.
Okay.
Home against the Rams.
Loss.
At the 49ers.
Loss.
At the Bucks.
Loss.
Bye week in week 14. The final four games are this. Falcons. Browns with Deshaun Watson back at that point.
Ooh.
At the Eagles. Home against the Panthers to finish things off.
They have one win right now?
They are 1-3. First win of the year against Falcons.
The most, and this is being benevolent, think he got a 7. The most.
Okay. Well, it's awful.
Now, I said the most. I think they're going to be closer to a 5 or 6 win football team. Miami at the Jets. No Tua Tagovailoa. This is Teddy Bridgewater against Zach Wilson. I want to see some continuity from Zach Wilson. Was hurt. Played his first game last week. Did a nice job in the fourth quarter. I want to see up against a good defense in Miami, Zach Wilson lead back-to-back winning efforts for the New York Jets. That's my thought.
This is a Mike McDaniel game. What do you got? You know, no Tua. Let's see how can you scheme an offense that could still put up enough points to win a game.
Atlanta at Tampa. Very simple. I want to see Tampa have life on offense and Tampa blow them out.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Falcons are the only team that have covered the spread in all four games.
Is that right?
4-0 against the spread. So with that said, I think it ends this week. Yeah, I think Falcons are going to get blown out.
Tennessee at the Commanders. I'm looking forward to which quarterback's going to mess it up. Tannehill stinks. Wentz stinks. Don't trust either. That, to me, is what's going to determine this game. Henry probably runs through that defense. But which quarterback messes up this game and the limited opportunities that they'll get?
You know me with the Titans. I'm not a big believer in them every year. That said, they should. You cannot lose this game. You are so much better than the Commanders.
Well, you can't because the division stinks.
Carson Wentz is so bad right now. This has to be a win.
Yeah, but and Rivera's even doubting the team with how annoyed he's getting with the media. But let's be real. If they lose this game, they could still win the division. The division's
oh, awful. No, absolutely. But this should be a gimme.
Texans at the Jaguars. Here's my thought. If Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence have all the answers or are moving in the right direction, you win this game and it's not even close. I know Houston has given some gritty efforts this year. They don't have a win. You can't let Davis Mills beat you. If the Peterson-Lawrence train is getting back on track, they'll take care of the Texans easily this week.
I agree. It's like a building block kind of game. You're coming off a tough loss against the Eagles. Bounce back and win a game in which you are playing a very inferior opponent.
San Francisco at Carolina, all hope is lost with Baker Mayfield. Here's my thought. What Jimmy G are we getting? 2 weeks ago, he looked like he couldn't play the position. Then last week, he was competent. Will Jimmy G just be serviceable, or are we going back to being bad Jimmy G? That's my thought on this game.
My thought is, we're going to get the real Christian McCaffrey. Now, I guess some of it's part of Baker Mayfield, but like, it's done nothing. On the ground, receiving the ball. Like, if Baker wants to get his career back on track, please look at 22.
Yeah, but Baker stinks. I don't even know if he could see Christian McCaffrey.
Might not. Maybe that's part of the issue. On the screen, he doesn't know where he's throwing the ball.
Baker stinks.
He's been very bad.
Dallas very at bad. The Rams. Is Cooper going to continue to cook? That's the question. That's the thought on the game. I think the Rams win this week. Especially with how bad the Rams were. Why is Alex Cora at this game? Alex Cora is at Padres Mets?
Sitting like front row, too, with a Celtics hat on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If I just manage an entire baseball season, and maybe he's there for a cause, so if he is, I apologize. But if I just manage a whole baseball season, my team wasn't good, I would want no part of being in a baseball game here.
You don't want to go to a baseball game literally 2 days after your season ended?
Is he stealing signs for next year? Is that what he's doing?
Maybe.
Is he scouting? But the Rams just have to win this game. I know Dallas is a good defense. I know Dallas, their defense has been phenomenal, and Cooper Rush has been a good story. The Rams look lost last week. Their offensive line has been horrible. This is just a game that you must bounce back if you're the Rams.
I think this game will be won on a defensive touchdown because both quarterbacks right now are kind of, well, not both. That's unfair to Cooper Rush. Both defenses are opportunistic. In terms of the Rams defense, Matthew Stafford has been, you know, given a few gimmies out there.
Doesn't
the
look like a Hall of Famer.
No, he does not. Is swarming. This game will come down to which defense can make a splash play.
Eagles at the Cardinals. One man versus an entire team. That's what this is. This is Kyler Murray against an entire Philadelphia Eagles team. The Cardinals are a singular person right now. The Eagles are a team. I want to see if the magic of Philadelphia can continue. I think it does. And Philly has struggled in Arizona. I love the birds this week in terms of the Eagles. Give me the Eagles over the Cardinals.
What you just said is so stupid with the Cardinals. Like, how this is a playoff team last year. I know there's no DeAndre Hopkins. This team stinks.
Well, I'm laughing. What you just said is so stupid. About the Cardinals, because you're right.
Like, what are we doing
it's
here?
It's one guy. Even Kurt Warner said it. He goes, they are giving the ball to Kyler Murray and saying, win us the game, go make a play. We paid you all the money. You got to fix all of our problems.
I mean, anyone step up.
Bengals at the Ravens. What Ravens defense are we getting? Because this defense has looked horrible early on. When they've had leaves, they've not been able to hold it. That's my thought. What Ravens defense are you getting this week?
I'm excited to see if Joe Burrow can continue his dominance. Last year, 941 passing yards, 7 touchdowns against the Ravens, dominant in both games. Can you pick up? Been slow to start. Even like you said, last week it wasn't great against the Dolphins. Can this be kind of the first game this year where he actually does step up and play a Joe Burrow game like we saw last year?
And finally, Monday night, Raiders, Chiefs. Be a lot of points in this game, at least. Yeah, some bad primetime games. Here's the thing with the Raiders. 2 years ago, those games were great, Raiders and Chiefs. And last year, horrible. I'm trying to give you some optimism on the Raiders. I got nothing. Carr stinks. Josh Jacobs is good, but he's then useless if you're down 3-4 touchdowns because you got to throw. Waller's got to just get more looks. Like, what has happened to him? This Raiders, here's the problem. Here's the thought. This Raiders defense going to do anything up against Patrick Mahomes? You don't have to worry about Tyreek Hill. He's no longer there. But this Raiders defense has been brutal. I just think Mahomes is... I haven't looked at the spread on this one. Whatever it is, I don't think it's enough.
It's in Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
How about I'd say probably a touchdown at least.
Yeah,
divisional game, so you're probably not going to have it like, you know, 10 or 11.
I would love for this to be a 34-31 game.
Same.
That'd I just great. Don't have confidence that it is.
Run the ball.
The Raiders' one win is up against the Broncos. Who? Shows you how bad the Broncos are. You're a Super Bowl pick.
Yeah, and they lost the two, in 4 days, lost to the Colts and the Raiders. That's all you need to know about the Broncos. Sheesh.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We do NFL picks next with Jersey Jerry of Barstool Sports.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. It was always Zach Gelb and Jersey Jerry, but Zach just didn't know it.
Jerry in New Jersey. Jerry, what part of Jersey are you calling from?
I'm from North Jersey. I'm a blue-collar union guy.
And now they're friends.
I'm the buddies for life, right?
It was always Jersey Jerry. It was always Zach Gelb.
This has never happened before. And I'm man enough to share it. I'm man enough.
And now it's time to respect their NFL picks. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, NFL picks time with Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. For the first time all year, I have a lead. It's not by much. I'm only up a half game because Jersey Jerry did get a push last week on that Ravens game. But Jersey Jerry back from Pittsburgh after, I don't know, was that like a good day for you? I know you got to see Kenny Pickett. He brought some life to that offense, but it was still a loss at the end of the day.
I'll tell you what, Zach. I think that was one of the better days I have had as of late. Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I just had a feeling. That's why I got the tickets and went out there. I just had a feeling something would happen mid-game. I knew Trubisky was going to start, but I said to myself, you know, I think he's going to struggle, and I think they're going to pull Mitch, and I think Kenny's going to go in. I'm happy he did. Listen, you know, a lot of people look at the box score. 3 interceptions, it's tough. I will say this. I'm a real fan. Kenny's one interception pretty much costed us the game for sure. There's no way around that. But I seen a spark, and I don't know if you've seen a little spark. I seen a spark.
I actually saw hope. You know, that offensive line's not good. The offense hasn't looked good all season, and I've been saying this throughout. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't as bad as what the 3 interceptions would suggest, but there's actually a reason to watch the Steelers, because with Trubisky, it was he's playing, but you know he's not going to be the guy –
for the entire season or next year.
Yeah, and you know what I found really interesting about Kenny is, you know, I went to a preseason game. I pretty much, you know, I think I told the story here or somewhere else. I went to a preseason game, and during the game, he snapped and he screamed at Tomlin, "Let me throw the effing ball." And I said to myself, "This guy, he's a gamer. This guy's a gamer." And then you watch him; he commands the huddle. The wide receivers love playing for him. You know the stuff they're saying in the press conferences. He's a confident guy. You know, brighter days ahead as a Steelers fan, I think. Brighter days ahead. You know, you got TJ coming back, hopefully week 6. That's what the word is right now. Listen, we got a tough one in Buffalo, that's for sure. But, you know, Mitch played like a quarterback who just did enough to just stay relevant for the first 2 or 3 weeks. And then, you know, I can understand. You know, you're not making mistakes. You're not turning the ball over really that much. But you're not doing enough to win the game, by no means.
Jersey Jerry here with us. Let's get to the picks. I'll start things off, and it's the first time I could do so this year because I have that half-game lead now. We'll see how much longer that does last. I'm taking the Packers, Jersey Jerry, laying 8 in London up against the Giants. Giants have been a good team this year. Daboll and Shane, I like that regime. There is some optimism. Green Bay came off that ugly game last week where they found a way to beat the Pats. But I think this is a reminder that the Packers, even though they're 3-1, people aren't high on them. They're still a good team, and they'll take advantage of a team that just doesn't have a lot of talent right now in the Giants. Give me the Pack, -8.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to go with an underdog play. I'm going to go with the Cardinals, +5.5. Listen, Eagles are hot. They really are. Defense, number one defense, pretty much across the board right now. They're playing well. They're winning games. They're covering spreads. But this is just what the Cardinals do. They look like crap, and then they get into these games with better opponents, and they just somehow either find a way to win or just barely lose. And I think they're going to cover the 5.5 this week. Give me the Cardinals.
All right, we're going head-to-head then on this one because I got the Eagles at 5, but I'll use your number for the sake of this segment. I will do the Eagles -5.5. This is why I'm going Philly, and I hear what you're saying. The Eagles are a team. The Cardinals are one player. And I think they've been playing with fire way too much this year. I'll trust the better team. I know Philadelphia struggled in Arizona, but I'm going with the Birds of Philadelphia -5.5 this week. So 2 picks for me. What is your second pick there, Jersey Jerry?
My second pick is going to be the New Orleans Saints -5 against Seattle at home. Not sure who the starter is going to be. Probably Andy Dalton. But I'll take the Saints at home. Tough place to play. I think the defense, they step up to the plate and get the job done here. Give me the Saints -5.
Okay. Wow, we're going head-to-head again. This is a big week.
I
like Seattle, Jersey Jerry, this week. I can't believe what I'm seeing out of Geno Smith. I'm not a believer in Geno Smith, but he leads the league in completion percentage. Seattle's been a gritty team, and the Saints, it's going to be Dalton. I don't know what's going to happen with Thomas and Kamara, but I think this is a field goal game. I don't know who's going to win it, but I think Seattle finds a way to keep it close. I'm getting 5 points, so I'm going to take it there.
All right. Hey, my last pick is going to be – hear me out. The Bills are banged up. I don't know if anybody's been reading the news. The Bills are playing with third stringers on defense, especially in the secondary. They're banged up. They're missing some receivers. They're missing some key people, especially on defense. Listen, Steelers went into Buffalo last year, week 1, upset, beat them. The last quarterback to make a start, right, and beat the number one passing defense in the league was Ben Roethlisberger back in 2004. Kenny Pickett makes his start against the number one pass defense in the NFL in 2022. The signs are pointing to the Pittsburgh Steelers covering the spread. Not only will the Steelers cover this spread, hear me on this show. Play this tape back. I want this tape to be played back after this game on Sunday. Sprinkle the money line.
Wow. Now, we're on in Buffalo right now. That's one of our affiliates in this 9 p.m. Eastern time hour, Jersey Jerry. You think the Steelers are going to have a shot to win this game is what you're saying.
Listen, the last time a rookie quarterback made a start and beat the number one pass defense was Big Ben Roethlisberger back in 2004. Kenny Pickett is in that same situation, making his first ever start going against the number one pass defense. History repeats itself. You know this, Zach. Come on, you know this. This is what the Steelers do. They beat good teams and they lose to crappy teams. That's just what they've been doing the last decade. That's just how Tomlin runs this organization. He beats good teams and he loses games he's not supposed to lose. This game's going to be tough for the Bills. I'm telling you, it's going to be very, very tough. The book is not giving no respect on the over 15.5 points for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kenny's putting up a 24 spot, no question about it.
I like the confidence. So here are my picks. I'm taking Green Bay laying 8, the Eagles minus 5.5, Saints plus 5, Jersey Jerry's on the reverse of the Eagles and the Saints, or excuse me, the Seahawks plus 5, I should say, for me. Jersey Jerry's the opposite. He's taking the Saints minus the points, and then he's taking Arizona plus the points, and then you get the Steelers plus the 14 points right there. Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports, appreciate it as always. Do it again next week.
Do it again next week, Zach. See you later, brother.
There we go. Cut that clip, Hickey. He wants it out there. He wants us to replay it next week. He's liking the Steelers. Now, let me ask you this, Rye. We know Jersey Jerry is a big-time Steelers fan, but he's a fair fan. You know, he doesn't just say crazy things when it comes to Steelers just to say crazy things. Is that him drinking a little bit too much of the Kool-Aid, let's just say, from being in Pittsburgh last week? You see your guy get on the field. Kenny texts you. Your boy's with Kenny. You saw a little bit of a spark. Now you get a full 60 minutes of it. You know, if you want to tell me they're going to cover, that's fine. But sprinkle the money line a little bit. It's a pretty big-time claim by Jersey Jerry.
And guaranteeing 24 points from a rookie quarterback making his first start, whereas you look at, you know, what he saw last week for the Ravens with arguably the best quarterback in the NFL, only putting up 20 points. Big stretch.
Don't look to the left.
I saw.
Yeah. Max Scherzer stinks. You did this. This is your fault. You said the Mets are going to win tonight. They're going to win tomorrow. I was going to see a clinching win tomorrow. Scherzer just allowed another home run, and they're down 6-0. And we got some jackass Padres fan at the game celebrating. Wonderful. And I was in a good mood. It's Friday. Good week. Great week of shows. Was really looking forward to after the show tonight, sitting on down, maybe cracking open a beer, ordering something maybe, like a late-night snack, maybe like some ice cream, and just enjoying a nice little playoff game. Can't even enjoy it now. There's nothing to watch. This game's over. It's 6-0. Well, what's the reason to watch this crap anymore? Like, I'll watch it because I'm a fan and because I'm a sucker for the Mets, and I guess I just enjoy pain, but hey, would you wave the white flag now? Is this game over? You're going to, you know, give me optimism here, Hickey, and tell me they're coming on back. And anytime that they faced adversity this year, they respond to adversity. You giving me a pep talk now? You just telling me that this is over and they're losing tonight?
I think we know who will be pitching tomorrow.
So that's you saying Jacob DeGrom is pitching tomorrow and the Mets are losing this game. Wonderful. 6-0. We won 101 games. Mets team down 6-0 at home, hasn't a playoff game since 2016 at Citi Field. Wild card game, I was there. Syndergaard, Bumgarner, Gillespie, ugh. Max Scherzer, way to go, Max. Home run after home run in Atlanta, now home run after home run in Queens. And this must be a big game pitcher. And I know DeGrom is great, but this is the guy with the World Series experience. This is Mad Max. What a disaster. All right, closing bell next. Tell you whose stock's booming, whose stock is dooming.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, International Series, Holiday Triple Headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com, via Westwood One station streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to the Mets season. I mean, it's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Hickster, Mets are now down 7-0. Scherzer pulled from the game. I just got a text from our pal Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, who does a great job running 1250 The Fan in Milwaukee, one of our great affiliates, and I love Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. You want to know what he texted me about? Any idea what he texted me about? Hot take, Icky?
Sure, it's something not very nice about the Mets.
I don't think he was being disrespectful, but this was his exact text. Hickey did his jinx magic on this one. Anything you got to say for yourself?
No, nothing.
Hickey's taking the L. That's what he's doing. Let's go to David in Buffalo, 855-212-4CBS. David, what's happening?
Hey, Zach, appreciate you taking my call tonight, man. You know, as a Bills fan, I just heard you talking with that gambling expert about the games. And I'll tell you one thing. I think the Steelers definitely keep this game a little closer than what people think. I heard some national people think this is going to be a blowout. I think it's probably a 10-point game. I like the Bills to win, but I think they've got a lot of injuries with the secondary. The receivers are banged up. And to me, the biggest thing I want to see with this team going forward is I want to see them generate more of a running game. I feel like the pressure is all on Josh Allen. I feel like, you know, James Cook being the draft pick that, you know, a lot of people are touting, saying he's going to come in and really make a big impact. He hasn't done a lot yet. And Singletary and Moss, I think you've got to get them involved in the screen game and just take some pressure off of Allen and Diggs, because to me, defenses are going to key on that. It's going to be tough to succeed being one-dimensional going forward and trying to win a championship with this team.
Yeah, David, appreciate it. They definitely need to take some of the burden off of Josh Allen. That's why I advocated yesterday maybe they should call up the Raiders and go trade for Josh Jacobs. But they should take care of the Steelers. I don't know if they cover. That's a stay-away game for me just because the number's so big, and I think Buffalo's clearly the better team. I could see them keeping it close. Yeah, that's not out of the realm of possibilities as an NFL team. But if the Bills lose to the Steelers, then that would be brutal. That would be absolutely brutal. The Bills should beat the Steelers. They should beat them by 2 touchdowns, but can I see it being a 10-point game? Maybe this is like 30-20? Yeah, I could definitely see that. But the bottom line is, for Buffalo long-term, the only blemish on that resume, and we talked about this with Jim Kelly, health or the run game, and just having Josh Allen being your leading rusher 3 out of 4 weeks is not a formula that is sustainable. So they're going to have to find a way to develop something else on the ground. But the Bills, they're top 3 team in the league. So you should beat a team like the Steelers, and you should be able to take care of a young quarterback in a Kenny Pickett. All right, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's hear Tom Hamilton on the Guardians Radio Network. This was the Jose Ramirez two-run home run. This made it 2-1 in the sixth, as the Guardians did get the victory today to take game one of Guardians and Rays by that 2-1 score.
1-0 Rays, the pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. Deep right center field. Siri at the wall. And it's gone! How many times can he come through? The answer is infinite.
Give a stock up to Jose Ramirez. All Cal does is go deep. Let's listen up to Cal Raleigh. 2-run home run to make it 3-0 Mariners in the first. This is the Mariners Radio Network.
3-2 on the way to Cal. Swing and a drive into right field. This one is going. It is going. It is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Cal Raleigh, a 2-run home run, has just shocked the fans here at Rogers Center.
Good for the Seattle Mariners. They take care of the Toronto Blue Jays by a score of 4-0. They take game one. So give a stock up to Cal Raleigh. What a comeback by the Phils. Fightins were up. We're down 2-0 going into that final inning, and they end up putting up a 6-3 victory against the Cardinals. Let's listen up to Gene Segura, 2-run single in the ninth. This gave the Phillies the lead 3-2. Here's Scott Fransky on the Phillies Radio Network.
Swing and a ground ball right side. It's under the glove of Edmund. It's in the right. The game is tied. Here comes Castellanos. He'll score. And the Phillies lead it in the ninth. Gene Segura has come through, and the Phillies have scored three times to take the lead on the Cardinals.
Give a stock up to the Fightins, Gene Segura. All right, Hickey. I'll give you a positive from the football game last night. What do you think my positive is from the football game last night? I think there's one player that is deserving of praise from the game last night, and only one player.
Stephon Gilmore.
Yes, that would be accurate. Stephon Gilmore, Gilly Locks, still showed, when healthy, how dominant of a corner that he could be. I had the big interception, play at the end of the game. Stephon Gilmore helping the Colts get a much-needed dub. If you're still believing that this Colts team could go make the playoffs and do something, they're not. They could still win this division. I think Tennessee's better. I give the slight edge to Jacksonville as well. If you're a Colts fan, you should be rooting for them to lose as many games as possible so you could go put yourself in a position, an easier position, to go get your next franchise quarterback. That was a heck of a performance by Mr. Gilly Locks last night and Stephon Gilmore. Stock up. All right, now to the negative. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is trying to be someone that he's not. Russell Wilson was so caught up in being the guy, being the man. You know, I got to be the franchise quarterback. I got to be the reason a team wins a Super Bowl. Kind of lost his way. And Russ just seems like the last few years a different person. And now you're seeing it start to impact his play. The last year and a half, the thought was, oh, it's Pete holding him back. Oh, it's more Seattle, bad offensive line. What happened last night? Late in that fourth quarter, you elect, your coach elects to throw the football. He puts the ball in your hands right before the two-minute warning. You had nothing. You could have ran the football yourself because you easily would have been able to get the few yards to get the first down. And you may have potentially have gotten a touchdown. Instead, you throw a pick. Then in overtime, first down they run, second down they run, third down they run, fourth and one, all those timeouts. I think they should have ran the football, but they put the ball in Russell Wilson's hands. And Russ had a wide open KJ Hamler. Didn't even look to the right side of the field. Pass is incomplete. Colts win. Russell Wilson, you're not living up to that contract. You're not living up to that hype. And right now, forget about being a top five quarterback. You're not even looking like a top 10 quarterback. Right now, you're not even looking like a top 15 quarterback. And that's crazy. Because Russell Wilson is a good quarterback, but he has lost his way. And this Broncos team is screwed. Stock down. Let's hear Russell Wilson from last night. You know this let's ride thing? Broncos country, let's ride. You can't say that last night after the game, but Russ did.
I'm grateful for them battling for every moment, every play, and they kept believing until the last play. That belief is a powerful thing, and that's what I'm going to keep believing in. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Broncos country, let's ride.
You know, I'm going to keep believing, and we're going to try to be a good team. And, all we have left is to believe, okay? Thanks, guys. Broncos country, let's ride. You can't say Broncos country, let's ride there. Stock down once again to Russell Wilson. Let's hear Frank Reich. We saw how frustrated Matt Ryan was. I know they find a way to get the victory. I don't really think that's all. Let's go praise Matt Ryan from last night's effort. But Frank Reich, who's a dead man walking anyway, he says he really loves how Matt Ryan plays in the fourth quarter.
I wish you guys could have seen him up close. I love this guy in the fourth quarter. The look in his eyes, the short conversations that we have, the determination, I just feel like we're going to go down the field and score. I mean, I really do. He's going to make it work. So a credit to Matt. I mean, you see all these things that have been said about him. What he does in the fourth quarter is impressive.
What, does Frank Reich play that song, I'm Falling For You? Look into my eyes, because I'm falling for you. Like, what are we doing? I wish you could just look into his eyes. I wish you could see what he's doing. We all saw that game last night. Matt Ryan didn't look happy. Stock down, Frank Reich. What are you talking about? And finally, this from Anthony DiComo, covers the Mets. Max Scherzer allowed 7 earned runs and is getting booed at Citi Field. It's the most earned runs he's ever allowed in any of his 27 career playoff appearances. Scherzer, final line, 4 2/3, 7 hits, 7 earned runs, no walks, 4 Ks, 4 home runs, 80 pitches. Welcome to the Mets, Max Scherzer. Stock down. That game 7-1, San Diego up on New York. Hickey, real quickly, what's the one game that in a weird way you're excited about this weekend? For me, it's Tennessee and the Commanders because I just can't wait to see which quarterback messes up between Ryan Tannehill and Carson Wentz.
I'm going to go your boys. Lions-Patriots.
Wow.
Best offense in the NFL, points per game-wise, against what could be a revenge game for Matty P.
Yeah, revenge game, my ass. Big thanks to Derek Wolfe for joining us. Also, got to thank Jersey Jerry as well. I'll be on Eye on Football Sunday, noon Eastern.